Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray, come, holy light, guide divine. Now cause the word of life to shine. Teach us to know our God aright and call him Father with delight. From every error keep us free. Let none but Christ our Master be. That we in living faith abide in him, our Lord, with all our might confide. Alleluia, alleluia. In Jesus' name, amen. The passage which you just heard speaks of a meal that is prepared for those who are worthy for this meal, however. It centers not on the one who invites, but the one, the person who is admitted to this table, to this meal. It has all to do, in other words, of that of the meal, that is the gospel. It's a strange thing in our day, when I was out 9 years in the parish, and it's an interesting thing, it's a funny thing about Christians. They hear the gospel, they hear the words of forgiveness, they have Christ both in his flesh and his blood, but yet it seems that we don't know what to do with it from that point on. We speak of justification rightly, as it is one that pronounces us, like in the court of law, that your sins are forgiven. But the ongoing question is now what happens after that? What do we now do with this thing which we call the gospel? What do we do with it? We're declared righteous, holy, you know, before God. Now what? And practically speaking, it is very typical for Christians then to go to the scriptures, which is proper. But they began to view the Holy Scriptures as a rule book about the Christian life. You follow the rules of Christianity. This is the rules of the do's and the don'ts, the rule book of life, of the do's and don'ts of life. Strangely enough, however, what typically happens, practically speaking, they began in some ways to divorce their life from that very gospel which they first received. From the very gospel and that of Christ himself. In other words, they began to view their life according to the law as a rule book, to live this very righteous life, to justify themselves in the things which they do, and justify themselves to their neighbor, and justify themselves before God. In other words, many times what occurs is that they look no different than the very upstanding moral pagan or unbeliever within society that lives the good life. And many pastors who have experienced in the congregations, and maybe you yourself know this, that have experienced the person in the back of the church that comes to the pastor after church practically crying. The last person that approached me was crying, because somehow, as they come from a different background, church body and so on, they're crying because somehow they're not living this rule book, this victorious life, and the weight of the law that kills is killing them. And they question, in fact, if they in fact are Christian or not, if they truly believe or they not. Faith that begins to look into itself. Faith that looks to self and trying to find a righteous life, which is never, never there. How does the Christian then treat this law that all it does is condemn you and damn you? How does the Christian now see this within their own life? Perhaps it is that the Christian does not seek merely the righteous or self-righteous life, a life that they try to justify themselves before others and before God. Maybe it is the Christian that continues to grow in their knowledge simply of their sin. To know of their sin, to grow in the knowledge of their sin, that way they may know the goodness and the graciousness of God from heaven above through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Christian, again, does not mark one's righteousness, not marks one's ability to do the things simply in the scriptures, but one that lives a life of mercy, that's defined by mercy from heaven above in Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Christian life is therefore defined by Christ. It's defined by a life of mercy, the life which received from heaven above, the forgiveness of sins. It is a life that is not absent of Christ, but life who lives and dwells within every Christian, that finds his very moment of definition and meaning of life in the Christ who has shown him mercy and forgiveness. Luther said, he goes, vivendo immemoriando and damnando fit theologus. It's traditionally translated as living, yea, dying in temptation becomes a theologian. But more strictly speaking, it is living, yea, dying, and damnation, condemnation, becomes the theologian. For the true theologian recognizes the depravity of his sin, the depravity of life, that is, to know the depthness, each day being reminded of the greatness of one's sin, that one can be reminded and receive continually of that very forgiveness from heaven above in Christ Jesus. Only that person truly knows the gospel, truly knows the life which has been given to us. Luther also said, wir sind Bettler, hoc est verum, we are beggars, this is true. Luther knew what it meant to be a theologian, a pastor, and a Christian, one that knows the depravity of one's life and knows the mercy from heaven above. The meal today is extended not to those who believe they must repay so that they may justify themselves to hold themselves accountable in this way. No, the meal is prepared for those who know that they cannot repay, to know their depravity of their situation in life. The poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Only the latter can prepare to partake of this meal, to know again the depravity of their life and of their sin. The table is prepared for those who knows of this depravity, knows of the condemnation of the law, but also then know the mercy in which they receive in Christ Jesus. Luther speaks of those who prepare to participate in the meal and said, faith in these words, not faith in itself, in one's faith, but faith there in the very object of mercy, and these words given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. So we confess our sins. As St. Paul says, we make confession to salvation. We confess knowing of who we are and what we've become because of the law that condemns us. But we know whom what we have become because of the mercy in the person of Christ Jesus, that we may be hidden within the life of Christ and know the mercy from heaven above. So it is, as the passage then concludes, just as the deacon speaks the Benedicamus, let us bless the Lord after receiving of that of the great meal, of this sacred meal. Our Lord says, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus, amen.